I'm Dr. Orion Teraban, and this is PsychHacks, Better Living Through Psychology. And the topic of today's short talk is the gift of nothingness. So I'd like to begin this episode by relating an experience from my own past that radically transformed my relationship to life and reality itself. 6 or 7 years ago, I decided to spend several weeks backpacking by myself in the mountains. Now, I'm not exactly sure how I arrived there, but one day, while I was meditating, I came to a place that was so peaceful and so still that I lost all sense of myself. My consciousness was completely empty of content, so there was no longer even the sense of the consciousness being mine. It was more like the field of consciousness was wholly empty, and I passed out of all sense of space and time. There was no sensation, no memory, no subjectivity, only nothingness, the no-thingness of the infinite void. Now, I have no idea how long I persisted in that state. However, the transition out of that experience, from the undifferentiated experience of the timeless, spaceless void to the normal, everyday perception of reality, felt like the Big Bang. It felt no less staggering and baffling and intense than the eruption of the entire created universe, which could be why the Buddha spoke on how everything in the universe is created by our own minds, or to put it another way, on how mind precedes all phenomena. On some level, that is certainly correct. Like, you've never experienced anything outside of your own consciousness. Like, you're not even listening to me right now. You're listening to an emergent perception within your own mind, inside your own consciousness. The observable universe requires an observer. And without that observer, the observable universe, on some level, doesn't exist. In any case, this experience turned out to be a kind of turning point in my life, as it radically and permanently altered my relationship to reality. Among other things, it helped me approach the miraculousness of everyday life. When people use the word miracle, they typically reserve it for certain behaviors or events that just shouldn't be possible within our understanding of the laws of physics. Like, it was a miracle when Jesus walked on water, because given our understanding of buoyancy, that just shouldn't have been possible. These events are considered miraculous primarily because the basis of comparison is our understanding of the laws of physics, which are themselves derived from careful observation of the observable universe. However, if the basis of comparison is, say, the nothingness of the infinite void, then everything becomes miraculous. There is nothing in nothingness that suggests that anything should be possible. Even our modern cosmological explanations of creation have to posit the existence of like phantom particles. That is, they have to assume the existence of something to make sense of everything else. To go from nothing to something, anything, is an incomprehensible leap. Because under what framework can we reasonably assume that something can come from nothing? Relative to the nothingness of no time, no space, and no matter, everything in the observable universe is miraculous. Water flowing downhill is just as miraculous as water flowing uphill. Because on what basis can we reasonably assume the existence of water, hills, and flow? Frankly, the direction of that flow is probably the least miraculous aspect of the whole shebang. From this perspective, it doesn't really matter what we're talking about. A tree, a cloud, a broken shoe. Everything is miraculous, and everything is beautiful. It's an amazing way to go through life. It's also an overwhelming way to go through life, but it gets easier to navigate with practice. In any case, this event significantly deepened my relationship with reality, and it did so because it wasn't an intellectual concept from the wisdom literature that I could kind of trick myself into thinking I understood, but an embodied and irrefutable felt experience. Now, before I go any further, if you're liking what you're hearing, please consider sending this episode to someone who might benefit from its message, because it's word-of-mouth referrals like this that really help to make the channel grow. I'm also proud to announce that I'll soon be publishing my book, The Value of Others. So if you'd like to learn more about this, then you can go to my website and sign up for my weekly newsletter. Finally, please fill out an inquiry form on my website if you're interested in booking a paid consultation. The link is in the description. Okay, let's get back to it. And I think the felt experience is important because too often we collectively mistake the aesthetic sensibility for spiritual truth. Like, God does not just live in the beautiful cathedrals. No matter how profound your experience there might be, if that's the only place that you can experience transcendence, then your spirituality is still relatively barren. Because how much of your life are you really going to spend in a cathedral? But relative to the possibility of total non-existence, then all of the created universe is a cathedral. And the beauty of that creation shines through when we get out of the way of our own cognitive projections. More on this in a future episode. Through this lens, a strip mall, a trailer park, or a fast food restaurant is just as divine and beautiful as a forest or a cathedral. I know that sounds crazy, but it's kind of true. Which, to my mind, is actually one of the lessons of the Christmas story, as a manger was kind of the 2,000-year-old equivalent of some of these places, a humble place of no particular beauty or merit. Now, there does seem to be a relationship between beauty and truth, at least at the very highest levels. However, if you expect all truth to be beautiful, or all beauty to be true, then you're in for quite a ride down here, my friend. Those two things are fairly different from each other. And I think we too often make the mistake of imbuing beauty with a de facto truth that I don't believe is justified. In any case, when you arrive at a place where you are able to contrast the objects of your perception, not with your understanding of causality and the laws of physics, but with the infinite void of nothingness, then all of creation becomes bright and shining and miraculous. You will also never feel alone again, but that could also be the topic of another episode. Now, I wish I could tell you how I arrived at that place exactly, but I can't tell you the path. This is because roads only go where they go, and where I went, there were no roads. Perhaps that's the gateless gate alluded to in Zen parables. I can tell you that I have at least 10,000 hours of meditation experience over the course of my life, so that probably has something to do with it. However, it's mysterious. I know people who are more experienced than I am who haven't yet had a comparable experience, and I've heard stories of people who are much less experienced than I am undergo even more dramatic transformations, like Saul, blinded by the light on the road to Damascus. The upshot is that if you think miracles are just about non-standard empirical phenomena, then you're anchored at the wrong point. The standard phenomena are just as miraculous as the non-standard phenomena, and it speaks to the pervasive and stultifying effects of convention that so many of us seem to have forgotten that this is so. What do you think? Does this fit with your own experience? Let me know in the comments below. As always, I appreciate your support. And thank you for listening. And now, a word about Stellar. If you're interested in pursuing a master's degree or a doctorate, chances are good that you'll have to take the GRE. Now, before I became a psychologist, I was actually one of the world's top GRE test prep instructors. Over 20 years, I developed a unique and practical system for dismantling every aspect of this test, and I helped thousands of students achieve top percentile scores on the exam. Today, students can learn the same system I used to achieve my own perfect score with Stellar GRE, my online GRE self-study program. I personally wrote and designed every aspect of this course. Among other things, it includes a 500-page test prep manual, thousands of practice problems, and several full-length mock exams. Just like my episodes, Stellar is designed to give students the strategies and techniques they need to succeed as clearly and succinctly as possible. And the best part is, Stellar works. My students' average score improvements are higher than my competitors' score guarantees. So create an account and start your free trial today at stellargre.com. Use the code PSYCH for 10% off any membership plan. The link is in the description.